Good morning. Today's scripture is Luke 13, 1 through 9. Repent or perish. At that time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled in with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the other living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. There's a parable attached to this today. It's the parable of the barren fig tree. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found nothing. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for these years I have been coming looking for fruit on the fig tree, and still I have found nothing. Cut it down. Why should we be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, good and well. But if it doesn't, you can cut it down." God bless the reading.
Please pray with me. We seek in your word, O God, as though we are searching for water. We, in a dry and weary land, by the power of your Holy Spirit, may this word be to us a rich feast, satisfying to the soul. Then with our mouths we will praise you, and with our lives we will bless you, our host and our hope. Amen. My grandfather, my mom's dad, lived through the Great Depression. And because of that, not only did he wash all of his Ziploc bags in tin foil, but he also always had a garden, a huge garden in his backyard. Green beans, lima beans, which I'm sure is not actually a food, wax beans, carrots, peas, cucumbers, colorful cabbages and lettuces, peppers, onions, leeks, garlic, herbs, strawberries, grapes. He had a pretty nice vineyard, and he did make wine, which was very strong, and several varieties of tomatoes. And I don't know about you, but to me, there is nothing better than a homegrown tomato. A nice beefsteak, slice that up thick, put it on some bread that my grandpa just made, slop on some mayonnaise and some pepper and some garlic powder. Heavenly. Absolutely heavenly. I know you're all drooling right now. It was just amazing. My mom and my stepdad had always had garden too. My mom has also been very particular about curb appeal. She made sure that there was always seasonal flowers along, the walkway leading up to the door. The bushes around the house were all very well maintained. The trees, the lawn was watered, raked, mowed, and you can be assured that I was recruited to help maintain that landscaping and gardening. But it was never really my favorite activity. And after I finished pounding and whining about it, I just did whatever she told me to do. I didn't really learn a whole lot about why I was doing what I was doing. But, you know, like over the years, as I've grown up, I've really missed having a garden. I've tried my hand at it a couple of times. I've only lived in a few places that had access to a yard of some sort. Most of my attempts have been in containers, more like container gardening, and you know, it, mostly like herbs, a couple of like not really flowers, but like leafy plants. And there have been a few of those things that have survived. I currently, very excited, have an aloe plant that I have kept alive for 6 months. And I know you're thinking, like, aloe plants are kind of hard to kill. No, they're not. If you have one that you want to get rid of, just let me know. It does desperately need a bigger pot, at this point. And I've also killed countless spider plants, which I've also been told are very difficult to kill. But you know, some of that, it's not really my fault. Indoor cats and indoor plants don't usually get along very well. Not a really good mix. But much to my dismay, I have tried to grow a couple of tomatoes, even like on a porch and in a really big pot, and I've never been able to grow a tomato that produced any fruit. Definitely not one of those big, juicy tomatoes. I blame it on my cats. But if I'm being completely honest with you, my lack of success as a gardener probably has a lot more to do with the fact that after I plant, I don't really follow up with the hard work that's necessary to grow strong and healthy plants. Some of that's due to ignorance, right? I don't know the difference in soils or fertilizers or how deep or far apart to plant things. I also really don't understand plant body language. Like, dogs and cats and most humans are able to remind me when they're hungry or thirsty, or when they want to go outside and need a little sunlight. Even if they don't tell me verbally, right? Like, I can figure out those social cues and remember to offer them a beverage. That's the other thing, is like, plants can't tell me, like, no, thank you, I'm not thirsty anymore, when they don't want any more water. And these things, if I were honestly more interested and intent upon cultivating plants, these things aren't difficult to learn, especially in this day and age. Everything's like a click away. There's a plethora of information right at my fingertips. The library, right down the street. I could easily pick some of your brains, or my mom's, or some of my neighbors, to figure out what I'm doing wrong. But frankly, that's just, it's a lot of hard work that I just don't want to do. What I want is I want to put the plant or the seed into the ground, and it's just supposed to grow, right? Like, that's what seeds do. Why does it need so much attention? It's so needy. The seed knows what it's supposed to be. It has all of that information stored within it to become that tasty tomato of my dreams. Just grow. Our gospel reading today begins with Jesus hanging out with his fellow Galileans and telling them, you know, the Galileans are telling him about those Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Pilate had sent the Roman soldiers into the most sacred of all sacred places within the temple and slaughtered their fellow countrymen next to their sacrifices to God. I can only imagine the sadness and heartache and anger they must have felt at that time. It was a truly wicked and evil act. And did these people deserve it? This is where Jesus raises a connection between suffering and sin. It's a pretty common thing to find in the Bible, that connection between suffering and sin. And even today, you can't say that you've never seen someone begging for change at the corner and or the side of the road and thought to yourself, or maybe even out loud, "Wow, that person must have surely done something terrible to deserve this lot in life." And that's what we call Deuteronomic theology. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to make you say Deuteronomic. And that's basically saying, if you do good things, if you're obedient, good things will happen to you. But if you sin, if you're disobedient, you'll be cursed. You'll either have maybe illness or poverty or social stigma. But Jesus here is definitely rejecting that view. A person's righteousness, or lack thereof, has nothing to do with the worthiness of the person, nor with any evil that may befall them. He asks those around him, "Do you think that these Galileans suffered in this way because they were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans?" And the answer is a resounding no. Rather, this is a reminder that none of us should put off repentance. These people didn't deserve to die or suffer, but their lives were cut short. And Jesus underscores this message with the parable of the fruitless fig tree. It's reminiscent of Micah 7, where the frustrated harvester, God, finds no figs or grapes, justice, in the vineyard, Israel. As Jesus does, he puts a little twist on things. Even though it would be logical to tear up a tree that hasn't given any fruit in 3 years, the vineyard's caretaker sees worth in this fig tree and pleads for the opportunity to do the hard and messy work of loosening the soil around it, fertilizing, tending to it, watering it, reading its body language. That hard and messy work, that is repentance. And now I know repentance gets this really bad rap. You know, we think of it as like naming all of these ways that we're flawed and that we fall short of God's expectations, groveling, showing how worthless we are. But that's not really what repentance is. Repentance is an act of self-care. Repentance is recognizing just how much we are worth to God. Repentance is God's way of calling us into a deeper relationship. You know, a lot of times we find ourselves just planted somewhere. Maybe you're one of my failed attempts at tomatoes. Even though God has given us all of the information within us to grow into the person that God intends us to be, we can't just depend on being at the right place at the right time to produce that fruit. We must put in that work, including that hard work of repentance. Cultivating our own gardens as well as recognizing the worthiness of cultivating those around us, is part of that hard and messy work. Our work, individually and collectively, is growing into what God has created us to be in full relationship with God. So let's use this Lent to dig around the roots of our lives and prune ourselves into fruition, because we're worth it. Thanks be to God. Amen.